Hello everyone, I'm Bruffy1322 and welcome to week 65 of the Choking Hazard podcast with my usual co-hosts, Sugarfree Nos over there.
Yes, hello. Mm-hmm. Hello, hello!
He's in a happy mood today. RDT down there.
Cheers, we're bringing it back.
Josh is over there.
Hello.
Oh, you're bringing back Apple Juice Minute, aren't you?
And just drinking during the podcast.
MB Hammer is also in the background too.
He's in the booth.
He's in the booth. See, I need to get better with the saying things and making it sound like we're doing better than what we are.
I need to get better with the existing. I need to get better with that.
Well, I mean, I'll preface all of this by saying I am exhausted after a very busy week of GTA DOC. So I think I'm just going to sit back and let you guys do the talking and intersperse any thoughts when I, if I feel like it. And maybe I'll sleep a little bit. I don't know. I'll see how it goes.
It's nap time, bruv.
Yeah, it's nap time. I'm ready for
your viewers are now mine. They're all mine.
Should we talk quickly about the reason that I've had a busy week, the new GTA DLC? Let's quickly. We used to do almost entire podcasts about GTA DLCs, but now it's just a little footnote. Anybody got any thoughts? Has anybody even played it?
I like DLC. I like the DLC. It seems cool.
I agree. It does look cool. I just haven't gotten a chance.
I don't have really any in-depth thoughts. I was talking a little bit before, but the cars are quite strange in my opinion in how they're it's almost like they're just kind of ripped from Forza, and then they just throw some badges on there. Like, it's very strange. Like, the cars are, like, way closer to their real-life counterparts than most other GTA cars, I feel, which is kind of strange. Like, especially the unreleased, the biggest example of it is probably the unreleased, SN95 Mustang analog. Like,
Dominator ESP.
Yeah, yeah. What's it called again? Let me see if I can find a photo. Minator.
ASP. ASP.
ASP. Yeah, let me see here. Let me see if I can give you an image. Here we go. It's very strange. It's very strange. It kind of makes me uncomfortable, to be quite honest.
Not bad, eh?
Have you seen it?
Uncanny Valley.
I mean, have you seen it?
Well,
I
have seen it in-game,
it's an SN95 Mustang.
Have you got, an image of the real-life car to compare it to?
Sure. I can find the exact car to compare this to,
okay.
Actually.
I'd like to. Because it's an good to show Mustang. The viewers. But yeah, I was saying how that's
from
like
the same angle too.
By the way, watch the pre-show if you want some of this background foot down, conversation.
Yeah.
But I was saying how like that's a trend that GTA have been doing a lot over the last few years. It's been getting more and more.
What?
And it seems like they just copy straight off the car. Previously they'd mix two or three cars together, and they'd have their own unique stuff. But yeah, they don't do that anymore. It seems. All right.
There.
Oh, my God. You picked a good image to compare
it
to.
Hold up. The side panel, the gap is on the front wheels, not the rear wheels.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to show the...
It's a completely different car.
The front bumper bit, it has vertical pillars instead of diagonal.
You're really grasping at straws.
Which is the GTA version again?
See, it's just—it's strange. It's really strange.
Oh, the wheels are convex instead of the other word that's the other way around.
Concave?
Concave, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's just strange. It's just strange. The ZR, just looks like an FDR X7. It's just strange. It's super strange. So,
it is. It is quite strange.
Don't get me wrong. I like it. I think it looks good, but that's because I've always loved the new Edge SN95 Mustangs. So, I love the car, but it's just very strange.
Yeah, it's true. They don't really try anymore. Like, the creativity is kind of gone, I think. But what can we expect? But I think, to be fair, I would put I would rank the DLC pretty highly as all DLCs go. Like, on the fringes of a top five DLC of all time for the game. Like the things that they added, and the fact that they've gone more back to, you know, it's a Grand Theft Auto game. It's a game really, and the name is about stealing cars. And to actually put out a DLC that's related to cars, like, whoa, what? How is that possible? And no, you know, no crazy, ridiculous, weaponized flying vehicles and that. It's nice to have gone back more to its roots with it. So it's a good DLC, and I hope that they realize that this is the kind of stuff that people want. They did post a tweet that said that more people have come back to play GT Online than any DLC they've ever released in the history of the game or something. So hopefully they realize that people want cars, not flying bikes. I wonder
how true that is, honestly.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, they could just pull it out of their ass, I suppose.
Like, is that going to get more people? Like, when Dana White is about to put out a pay-per-view, you know, that Conor McGregor's headlining, he goes like, you guys got to buy it now because this is trending to be the highest bought pay-per-view of all time. He just does that so that people are like, oh, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people came back.
Like, and I haven't done any of the missions yet because I've only played a little bit, gotten the cars and customized them. But like the missions seem cool. I think it's a really good meme that there's a train robbery in GTA before there is in Red Dead Online. I think that's hilarious.
And you've got to stop the train.
No, do you have to stop the train?
Yeah.
That's funny. Although I don't understand, I guess, like, so are music artists, can they just like tweet at Rockstar Games and then get into like GTA Online? Is that like a thing?
Oh my God, the two main characters in this are so cringy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's so bad. It's just gotten worse. The characters and the character development and the dialogue, it just seems like it's gotten worse and worse and worse over every DLC. Apart from Pavel in the Caio Perico heist, the Russian boat, the submarine captain. He was really good. But yeah, these two characters who are your main points of contact, I think everybody is hating them.
Yeah, they're insufferable. They're insufferable.
You do?
I think they're funny.
Is that that's the only thing you like about the DLC is them?
Yeah, I like the new characters. I think they're well voice acted. And yeah, their dialogue's quite funny.
Yeah,
they're always talking about shagging each other. It's great. It's fucking hilarious.
What?
Yeah, pretty much every word out of their mouth is something about having sex with each other.
Yes. Yeah, see, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I don't need that.
I was like, oh yeah, they're such a sex positive couple. It's like, yeah, let's go for it, man.
But yeah, on the whole, good DLC. I wish, because
I'm looking forward to playing it more.
Yeah, I think I played one of the heists, like the mini heists. They don't pay very well. I wish they paid better, but they seem like fun things to do, maybe once or twice, and then you're probably not going to do them again, but you know, fun little additional things like that. And it's certainly bigger than what at least I expected it would be. You know, they had the car meet area and the new cars, but then there's this whole auto shop that you can buy with a new garage and business and heist type stuff related to that. It was fairly
the garage fairly... looks really good too,
it does,
by the way.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's a really attractive like space, like I and it's really great for displaying cars. Like, the lighting is great. Everything's great.
Yeah.
The business part annoys me, though, because you're supposed to get customers turning up with their cars that they want specifically tuned to a certain thing. I've spent about 5-6 hours in the DLC so far, and I've not had one customer turn up to my auto shop.
That seems like
nobody
it's a
wants
bug.
To come to my auto shop.
See, I had one pretty
saying,
much straight
hey,
away.
Hey, we're ready to take customers now. And then nothing.
I had one come straight away, but I haven't even bothered to like mod it up or anything, because everything that I've seen has suggested that it's just not profitable enough in any way. Like, you earn like 10, 20K or something for delivering a car. It's like not worth the time
plus,
investment.
Plus, it's nice having another car in the shop. Yeah. Fill it out a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, good DLC on the whole, and hopefully they keep, well, no, I'm not going to say hopefully they keep on top of like bringing DLCs like this. Hopefully they just give us the next game. That's, we all know that's not going to happen for a while.
I'm still annoyed that they call it DLCs and not updates. But, you know.
Why is that?
Because that's not the correct use of what that word means.
Is it not downloadable content? Do I not download the content?
We've talked about this before.
Hasn't we been here before?
A multiplayer online battle arena could mean anything, but we know it to mean like League of Legends and stuff. DLC is supposed to mean like additional optional content.
Okay.
Which is not what this is. You don't have a choice. I can't play the older version of the game, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's my only input.
Unfortunately, you can't play a version that doesn't have the Oppressor Mark II.
Josh's only input is actually.
Actually, can't you play on the old consoles?
You can.
Not for long.
Yeah, not for long.
For long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can right now, but not for much longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a party on Xbox 360 on the last day? Online
before
that could be our next game night.
Go back again, Josh. Yeah. Why have you not done anything with GTA? Like, did you ever think about speedrunning GTA 5?
No, it never came up ever. Of course, I'm flipping out.
Well, I'm curious what happened.
Well, okay, it's just like
GTA 5 is bad.
Okay.
And GTA 4. Do you speedrun GTA 4 too? You just do the 3D versions, right?
No, I've done 4. I did 100% of Ballad of Gay Tony for a while. Okay. I had world record in that for a while. But in traditional Josh fashion, to explain why I don't speedrun GTA 5, I need a ton of backstories.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. I'm quite happy to listen.
Oh, okay. Sure. So I started my speedrunning and streaming career in like end of 2012, beginning of 2013.
Wake up, Nos.
Which is exactly when GTA 5 started to get like revealed and talked about.
Yeah.
So for my entire like beginning of me streaming, everyone's just like, Josh, have you seen the new GTA 5 trailer? Do you think there's any cool skips in it? Did you see any glitches in the trailer, Josh? Are you going to speedrun it, Josh? Right. And then I have like immense like reverse peer pressure never ever do it because goddamn it, it's annoying.
I get it.
And then it came out on consoles that I didn't own, so I couldn't run it. And then when it did come out on PC, there was already a massive community around it that I was way too late. And I played through the story when it came out, and the game crashed 5 times on the helicopter mission when you're in the helicopter with Trevor, and he says a bunch of hilarious things while you're using the thermal camera. I had to do that mission so many times. I hated it. I hate everything about the single player in that game. The online was fun. I did heist speedruns with people, like co-op speedruns and stuff. I hate the single player of that game. Okay. I've done one run of it. I've done any percent run, but the thing with there goes RDT. The thing with any percent GTA 5 is that because it's any percent, you're allowed to do anything, which includes mission skips. So I don't know if you know that mechanic.
Not in GTA 5.
In GTA 5, if you fail a part of a mission 3 times in a row, you get to skip it.
Ah, okay.
So the entire speed run is throw grenade on ground, wait for grenade to kill you, respawn, throw grenade on ground. You do that 3 times, skip to the next part, and then it's fantastic. It was a great run. I had so much fun. Everyone was super, super angry, though, because they were like, oh my god, Josh must do in GTA 5, and it's off any percent. Like, I'm not actually playing the game.
You're that person who, when you get people peer pressuring you, you will do the opposite of what they want in that situation.
Inverse peer pressure.
Now I understand.
Yeah, that's the backstory.
And someone said in the chat that, oh god, Bruffy is an SA chat. I'm guessing that means that I am one of those people who only comes to your streams for San Andreas runs and I don't know anything about anything and I keep asking questions.
I only watch Vice City Stories speed runs. I'm a cool guy.
To be fair, I was an SA chat for you once, Bruffy. The first time we ever spoke was me asking you, how do you know that there was some technical detail about your top speed testing? And then your response was, read the description, idiot. And I was like, oh, sorry. And it was in there.
I have vague recollections of seeing your comment that I ended up like looking at your channel and realizing, oh, I was doing like GTA speedruns or something like that, but I didn't know of you at the time. And was my answer really because my answer is normally description. Like that's what I normally say, but I feel like it wouldn't have been to you.
No, it wasn't rude, but it was.
It was basically
I realized, oh, I'm an idiot, right? Like,
okay. All right.
What did I miss?
You didn't miss anything, really, RDT. It's fine. No. Don't worry. Did you get your extension card?
Why don't
you
tell that story about why you don't speedrun GTA 5 again? I missed that.
I don't like it. The short version. There you go.
See, that's what I said as soon as you started talking. And nobody paid attention to me. I just said GTA 5 bad. And we couldn't accept that as an answer. And lo and behold, that's the
story's bad.
Yeah, that's what I said. GTA 5. That's GTA 5.
Oh, right. Okay. In my mind, GTA 5 is online. But yeah, okay.
All right, then. That's GTA DLC chat over with. And much quicker than we used to do. So let's move on. You take it away. If anyone wants to speak, I'm all ears. I'm just going to sit back.
Yeah. Did you even say you're tired because the DLC or your stuff you're doing for it?
Yeah, all the testing and baking hot days, and there's been changes and things that have required more testing and long streams, long days. It's been a very exhausting week, so...
When's the results? I need to know what car to buy to
They're
race
already
it.
Already out there. Yeah,
three days ago. This man just, is a I'm on top of it.
All right. I used to rely on it when I played GTA Online to watch all the videos.
Tested 10 cars in one day. And then 10 cars again the next day in a different way.
So when are you transitioning your testing to the testing track for the car meet?
People genuinely ask that. Someone said, why didn't you use the test track in the LS car meet? And I was like, why would I use an inferior testing circuit?
Why would you redo all of your previous testing?
His second comment after that was like, well, because it'll help a lot of people and be more relevant now to the test track or something. And then my follow-up to that was, yeah, but I'm not going to retest every single car again. 500 vehicles.
See, bruv, I think you have some sort of mental illness that you feel compelled to interact with these people.
Yeah, why ignore them?
Just ignore them. In fact, delete their comment. Delete the comment.
Okay. I will say, when I read a stupid YouTube comment, I'm also compelled to respond to it. But
I think you're both mentally ill. I have a compulsion to ignore them completely.
Remember that guy?
Wow, that guy's silly. I keep scrolling.
Remember that guy that used to watch the podcast that would always comment, until you get that asshole that cracks a beer every time this show starts off the show, I'm not watching it. Yeah, I didn't respond to him, and he's never been back. So just ignore him.
So what you're saying is if we want
delete and block, that's the way forward. Delete and block.
The best thing on YouTube is the whole hide from this channel, so they don't even know. They're just ghosted. They just keep posting, and they'll never know that they're not getting
shadow banned forever. Yeah, the stereotypical dumbass speedrunner comment that everyone in the speedrunning community gets is glitches. I could do this run if I used glitches, right? I could beat the game in 5 minutes if I just used a glitch. And it's just like the glitches are harder than the normal gameplay, right? It's insane. People are so dumb.
Well,
I can't help but respond to that.
I get it. I know it's like you see these sorry about Summer in the background. You get these comments that are like, they're so obvious that you feel the need to impart some knowledge on these people who don't have a clue.
They don't deserve it. if you are that far gone, you do not deserve it. Who are you, Jesus Christ? Like, are you out to save lost morons? No, you just ignore them. They don't deserve you or your content or your input. Don't allow people that dumb into your life. They will bring you down. Just ignore. That's how I live my life, and I'm happy. So, but they repeat their comments. Well, then you repeatedly ignore them. It's very simple. They do not deserve you. If they ask stupid questions, they don't deserve you.
Fair enough.
That's my take.
Maybe I'll try to improve on that then. Go on then. Someone bring up a topic room and start talking about something. I'm done.
Josh, are you in a different room right now?
Have you asked this every single time?
No.
Didn't you ask this last week?
He's asked this every single time.
We didn't have a podcast last week.
Okay, last month or the month before.
Maybe. I don't know. It looks a lot brighter in there than it usually does.
Oh, no. I just have the window open because it's hot.
Okay. Fair enough.
Do you?
That's my topic
done.
Okay.
Do you fine gentlemen want to talk about the Steam Deck?
That's a stupid name.
No, the Nintendo.
Yes.
Oh, they'll be getting made to change the name.
I reckon.
I would imagine.
Surely, yeah. They must.
Oh, was that it? No,
that was,
no thoughts.
No, no, I have things.
Okay. Go
okay.
for it, Josh.
So, I think it's real. And Bruffy leaves. I think it's really good. I'm a big fan of it, and if I could afford it, I would get it. I think what they've done, there's various tiers. Like, I don't know, actually. Let me look it up. I just typed stream. God damn it. Steam.
Like £350 for the smallest one, I think. That isn't really
worth
having.
Yeah, they have different tiers. It's £350 for the 64GB internal storage model. But that's like
almost fit one game on it.
That's like, yeah, that's really slow internal storage as well. Then you got the £459. They all go up £100. The £459, 256GB model. That's an actual NVMe SSD, not just like flash storage. And then it comes with a carrying case if you get that, and an exclusive Steam Community Profile bundle. Hell yeah! And then there's the £569, which is double the storage basically, and you get premium anti-glare etched glass. An exclusive virtual keyboard theme.
I can't believe they had one that has 64 gigs. Like, how is that in any way in the modern world reasonable storage?
It has an SD card slot.
I know, but like playing games on the SD card, is that really going to, you know, work well?
I mean, if you play like indie games and stuff, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but I feel like this tool, like this would be a supplement to someone who already games on like another system at home, right?
Yeah.
Like this is...
Yeah,
but this
yeah.
isn't a primary system. Like, this is what you download Undertale on or whatever, you know, like small games.
And I mean, it's also just the classic, like, pricing structure theory of people don't want to buy the cheapest one. People don't want to buy the most expensive one.
Mm, yeah.
People always tend to the middle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the actual one is 459, but they wanted to give options, I guess. I don't know.
I'm curious. I'm skeptical about it and how much it'll take off, but I'm kind of curious about how good it'll be.
No, I think it will take off a lot. Like, I don't know how many times you've seen it, but how many times have you seen like indie devs on Twitter be spammed with when Switch version, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, there's a massive demand for like handheld stuff.
So does it play like just any PC game? What's going on?
Yeah, so it's using
Explain
Linux.
It.
Okay, so okay. it runs Linux, right? An x86 version of Linux, not ARM. Mm-hmm. So it's like an actual computer because it has AMD right now. It has an AMD APU in it, which is a graphics card and a CPU built into one, which is really good because AMD is making like the best CPUs and pretty decent GPUs right now. So that's just like, you know, clear winner there. And it uses Linux, like, and it's using like Valve's Proton thing, which is why they've been, you know, one of the reasons they've been pushing Linux this whole time, is because they're trying to make their version of like an emulator, basically, for Windows in Linux for video games, specifically designed for video games. So it will play pretty much anything, as long as it doesn't have like really strong anti-cheat, because that gets upset that you're like not in a real Windows environment or whatever.
Okay. So, like, what performance level are we talking here for, like...
Valve have said that it will run AAA games fine. The thing is, the screen on it, the built-in 7-inch screen is... Was it 800? It's 800p.
Okay, which, so I guess that helps performance a lot, is running games in 800p.
Yeah. It sounds bad, but, like... But
no,
when you
not
have
on that small of a screen.
Yeah, when you have a screen that's like native resolution is like the actual like same resolution it's running at, it looks fine, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have a 1440p and you watch 1080p on it, it looks terrible. But if you have a same size 1080p screen and watch 1080p, it'll look way better. Same thing here. So running games 800p, that small screen, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 60 hertz, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, all that good stuff. It I believe it has, like, display output as well, so you can connect it to, like, a USB 2, a USB-C screen. I might be wrong about that.
Hmm.
It has a, yeah, Type-C port.
So when does this thing come out?
It's out.
Oh.
Or is it, actually, is it pre-orders right now?
It's pre-orders, oh, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just look this up instead of asking you questions.
Well, no, because then the viewers are there. No,
then we wouldn't have a podcast.
You're speaking for the viewers, not this one.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Valve aren't using the term pre-order with the Steam Deck. Right, they're saying reservations.
Okay, okay. But it's
Elon Musk. Jesus.
It starts shipping December 2021, apparently. Probably will be delayed until 2022, if we're being real. So
this thing looks pretty nice. Oh, I love the buttons that are like the, you know, the scuff gaming controller buttons for the, yeah, like under the triggers. That's pretty popping. I like that.
People have been talking about how the buttons are, like, horizontal with the sticks, and everyone's like, oh, that'd be awful. But Valve has made so many user interface devices at this point, I trust they know what they're doing.
Yeah, that, like, that looks fine to me.
I still have a Steam controller.
Yeah, I have an issue with the hardware. I hate how they've put they've done the same thing as what annoys me with the Nintendo Switch. I'm a man with tiny little baby hands. And as a result of that, I will constantly be hitting the touchpad instead, like, whilst using the
with your palm.
Whilst using the analog stick. Just like on the Switch, how I have to reach over an analog stick to hit the face buttons, I'm always flicking the bloody stick.
Go on. If you don't fit into, like, the normal bracket of, like, hand size or ergonomics in any way, you're always just kind of screwed, right?
I have baby hands, so I'm good.
Yeah,
I have little tiny baby feminine hands, so I have little soft baby feminine hands.
It's got the usual, like, you know, gamepad controller controls, like the triggers and the analog sticks and the face buttons and stuff. It also has Valve's, like, patented, like, haptic feedback touch panel stuff, which I've used on both the Vive and the Steam controller, and I think is actually quite good. Once you get used to it, it's because this is supposed to be a PC, you need to have the touch pads because you need to be able to use, like, a mouse. You don't want to use the analog stick for a mouse. That'd be awful. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can plug a mouse and a keyboard up to it, like a wireless.
It has Bluetooth.
You can connect it. They showed pictures of you using it connected to an actual monitor, and you can just use it as a normal PC, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it also has, like, extra, like, back face buttons for your, like, your weird fingers, like your ring fingers and stuff.
Your weird fingers?
Yeah.
The weird, you
know, those weird fingers. But it's
so funny.
You know, the one that
somebody got a bust. Playing it with, like, a mouse and keyboard.
yeah, I can't imagine doing that. I'm sure people will make, like, some kind of weird, like, attachment to it where you clamp it into, like, a thing or something. I don't know.
It's a smart idea, though, because, like, so the people who have Steam accounts and are PC gamers probably have so many games. Like, game libraries are huge for people who use Steam and PC games. So you're going to get this portable device that's going to allow you to play all of those games that you already own wherever you want. It's a smart idea. I just don't get the name. Like, there's a Stream Deck already. Why would you call it a Steam Deck?
It in the prototypes and what it was being developed, it was called the Steam Pal.
That's even worse.
Yeah, so this is an improvement, but it's like,
why deck? Surely there could have been something else other than deck that relates to Steam that they could have gone with.
Steam Slab? I don't know.
Portable gaming device.
Could have called it the Piston or something.
Yeah, they got to have some kind of mechanical thing to it, right?
Like, Steam Tendo Ditch.
Steam Turbine?
Just the Steam console? What about that?
Sure. Well, they already had things called that.
The Steam Machines.
Yeah, that's right.
Steam Swift, because you can, like, take it on the go.
Steam Portable.
Apparently, Steam Boy.
Steam Boy.
14 pounds. No one laughed when I said it.
I mean, do you want to have a legal fight with Elgato or Nintendo? You pick.
Right? Elgato.
Yeah.
I think Valve's lawyers could crush Elgato's into the ground.
But yeah, it's running. But I think it's cool. I think lots of people are sleeping on it, and people are saying it's like, oh, this isn't going to work and stuff. Why would I want this and stuff? But I think the only thing from the Nintendo Switch that it's missing is Nintendo's first party library support. That's it. But it has Steam, which is like just as good, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It has every game.
And there are especially in Asia, handheld gaming is very popular. There's loads of weird Chinese handheld gaming PCs that look really similar to this. If you ever watched Linus Tech Tips videos, he always reviews every single one of them.
Yeah.
So it's like they're just making a Western version of that.
Yeah.
So it almost sounded problematic the way you put that. Some strange Chinese handheld.
Well, they are. That's what they are.
They're really really weird. Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
They're good.
But I don't know. I guess I'm definitely not the one to talk to about this because handheld gaming has never appealed to me in the slightest. So
yeah, I'm the same. I'm the same, Nos. Like I hate handheld gaming. Like my Switch, I've used it handheld maybe twice.
I've used it mostly handheld.
Yeah, I
hate. Yeah, I mostly handheld. Yeah.
Well, I can't. Sure, I just can't
hand,
focus.
Not for me.
I just can't focus on a video game when I'm doing other stuff out and about in the world. Like I couldn't sit on a bus and play a video game
I couldn't.
That is fair. It's tough.
That's not the only use case, really. On the sofa on the front of the TV or something.
It seems more to me like if I have my Switch out and about, it's to pass time, and then I'm not focusing on the fun of the game. I'm thinking about it passing the time. If I'm on a plane or something, I'm like, oh, I got 5 hours to kill, I might as well play this. For whatever.
Yeah. I could see the appeal of if I have a set amount of large time that I need to that I could play, that'd be one thing, but pick it up 20 minutes for something. I'm not a 20 minute gamer, okay? I'm a 4 hour gamer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree.
I have a question before Nos and Josh get into the two things that they wanted to talk about, I think.
Look, the Chugging Has a podcast. What's your question?
I want to ask you, I've got a question for RDT. How's things going? How's things going at Spotify?
Oh, just grand.
Give us an update.
I mean, you trying to have me violate an NDA here or something?
He's not going to be able to say anything.
All right. Well, I didn't mean what's happening in the Spotify world and what are they getting up to these days. I'm on about how is your job going?
It's a really good change.
Are you having a good time with your new job? Is it going well? That's the kind of thing I was after, not Spotify's insider secrets.
But also, have you got any freebies or anything that
you
can give
us? Have you met Joe Rogan yet?
Yeah, he's got a cubicle right next to mine. Right? He's always screaming and searing elk meat. It's pretty distracting. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a lot better than my last job. And still working from home. This Delta variant's kind of crushing the U.S. and might push back going back to the office. Apparently, yeah. I mean, we were having a discussion before in the pre-show about, my one buddy who is not vaccinated, who thinks has COVID right now. So that's, great.
Genius.
But yeah, I mean, that might push work from home further down the line, which I don't mind. I mean, my commute is literally opening my laptop, so that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
The way forward.
And you're not having the crushing hours like in your last job, I'm guessing, where you were working from home, which they made them think that you were working all the time and you could work all the time forever.
Yeah, I mean, some people still have that expectation, but we're a lot better to in a work-life balance, kind of log off when you're done sort of sense. So
that's good.
I'm happy.
Good. Yeah. Thank you for answering my question. I'll leave now. It's good to be on the show.
Yeah, of course.
Go on then. Who wants to go first? And first, I know Josh and Nos have topics.
I do. I have topics.
I mean, we could play rock, paper, scissors for it.
I didn't know I had topics.
Yeah, no, he's asking if he has topics.
No, I thought what? You thought you wanted you were talking all the way through the pre-show about things that you wanted to talk about during the podcast.
Oh no, I was just giving you a hard time because I didn't podcast. I mean, I can't talk about my, like, the only thing I have going on is my life. I could talk about my life, but that's about it.
No, we should probably let me go first.
Yeah, my life is first.
Okay, so. For the past like few weeks, I've been coy on my streams talking about like a secret project that I've been doing.
That almost got shown on the pre-show. Project?
Yeah, almost accidentally got shown on the pre-show because for some reason it used my VR headset camera. I don't know. But yeah, for a while I've like in my Discord, I've just been tweeting pictures of me in like random places, just like, "Hey, I'm here," and people are like, "Oh, why are you there?" And I'm just like, "Secret project." I don't even remember why I was hiding it. I kind of regret it because everybody was starting to like, "Oh God, we've got to figure out what this is." And they're going back into my VODs and listening to me talk about it at any point, trying to piece together like any clues or anything. So I had to like bring it back down to earth. It's like, well, actually this probably isn't very interesting for you. I only kept it a secret because I wanted to talk about it here and not have you guys know beforehand. Okay. So it's relevant to things we've been talking about before. The secret project was called the Project Tessarosa when I was prompted for a name that was the best I could come up with. It makes you all think it's a car. It's not a car. Don't get hyped.
But it's a new antidepressant?
No.
Damn it.
So yeah, I've been traveling around the town for reasons, gathering things. Getting sunburned because as it's really hot right now, I picked like a really terrible time to start doing this. Yeah, I went on the ferry from Portsmouth to Gosport, which I've never done before, which was crazy.
Where's that? I've never even heard of that.
It's a little island to the left of Portsmouth, but it's basically just like council housing. It's just all council housing. It was a very rough area. I had to walk through it with a very unflattering thing, but thankfully I survived. I had to muscle a bunch of nightlife people away though. I was getting on the boat and stuff. Oh, yeah. But anyway,
this sounds shady.
Without further ado, I will now reveal the secret project. So the secret project is actually right in front of you on this camera right now. It's a little zoomed in to not reveal it. But you know the chair behind me? It's not a chair. It's a bike! Dun, dun, dun. Oh, God.
Yo, let's go!
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, I meant to do this. Also, when I chucked that, I didn't really think about it. I broke a lot of things. Whatever, we'll worry about that later.
Yo, is that a Humvee?
This is one hell of a reveal. Mistimed on the sound. Broke everything in the room to reveal it.
That's the wrong way. Yeah, I chucked a lot of stuff around. Yeah, I got a bike. A bunch of people guessed it correctly. Yeah, so on the podcast before, I've talked about how I had difficulty with the scooter now because e-scooters are a big deal and everyone wants me to go on the road because my scooter has like handbrakes and it looks like I'm going to put this down. Okay.
Okay. Bike.
Yeah, probably. Because my scooter is like a commuter scooter thing. It looks like an e-scooter. It has like handbrakes and big wheels and stuff. And everyone, including police, keep telling me to go on the road. And it's just like, I can't do this anymore. The whole point of using a scooter to commute around the town was so that I didn't have to go on the road because I've had terrible experiences before with traffic on bikes. And I would encourage anyone, if you're really bored for some reason, go on Google Maps on Street View. Go around the main roads on Portsmouth and laugh at the terrible bike lanes.
I mean, bike lanes across the entire UK are just jokes.
Yeah, but there's literally...
What's a bike lane?
in one place in Southsea, I think it is, there's a bike lane, that there's like a road that goes like to the left, curves to the left, and there's another road next to it that curves to the right. And they sort of like meet in this weird little island thing in the middle. There's a bike lane that goes from the left side of the south road, right? So it's on the left, which is the side we drive on. And it goes straight through the island and just ends on the opposite side of the other road with traffic coming towards you. And that's a bike. They expect you to just cycle straight into traffic. It's just like, what are they thinking?
Why not?
But anyway,
we're trying to eliminate cyclists as a species.
Yeah. I thought this would be a fun topic for you because you're all motorists, and I'm now your mortal enemy of a cyclist.
Didn't want to go on the road because you're afraid of bike lane, so you got a bike.
There's no other option. I'm so sick of walking, and I can't use the scooter. There's like I fought long and hard about it, and there is no other option. I'm just gonna have to.
There are no other transportation options
that I can afford. Right? And also, I'm saving the planet. Thank you very much. But no, I'm not gonna be like that. But yeah, so it's been 10 years since I last rode a bike like properly.
Wow.
So I decided to just give it another try. Hopefully, like teenager me was just terrible at road safety. And maybe I could do a better job of it. My plan was to buy a cheap secondhand road bike and cycle around and learn how to use it and see if I'm going to die. And then if I'm not, then maybe like invest in a nice gravel bike. Because I would like to, that was another thing.
Like a mountain bike?
No, gravel bike.
Is a gravel bike? I'll explain it.
But anyway, like one of the reasons. One of the other problems I've had with transport for ages is range, right? Like the scooter is good for like the city, but I want to go to like, you know, Silverstone and Fruxton and like, you know, and speedrunning events that are in random places.
I mean, sometimes there's a cycle to Silverstone, right? That's a pretty hefty cycle.
You can do. There's this thing that I didn't know existed and I never thought about it, but it's called bike packing. It's actually possible to like put tents and stuff on your bike and like just go to camping spots and like have a big like road trip, but on like a cycle, and you can like road trip to places.
I know people to do that. Well, yeah.
According to Google Maps, it says it would take 10 hours and 10 minutes to cycle from Portsmouth to Silverstone.
Yeah.
So that's 5 days. Yeah.
5 days.
Depending on how much you ride.
Yeah, you would just find all the campsites on the way and just do that and have a little adventure.
I mean, it takes less than 2 hours to drive.
I can't afford a driving license or a car, all the tax, all the fuel. but this is also another thing is I need a way to lose weight. Like, I've only ever gotten heavier. Like,
as a brother.
Yeah, so it's just like, this is a good, like, I wanted some kind of form of exercise, so this is good for that. But yeah, a gravel bike is like, it's like a road bike, like this is, like thin, lightweight and stuff, but it has like bigger tires, like off-road sort of tires on it. So it's like suitable for like gravel paths and stuff like that.
Okay. Like, I would consider that a mountain bike.
No, because it's not big and heavy and doesn't have suspension and stuff like that. It's made for like long.
Is it like a cross between?
Well, that's because the only bikes we know are like you got like the fast bikes with the weird handles. You've got mountain bikes. You got a BMX, and then you got a cruiser.
Yeah, it's like 70% weird handlebar fast bike and 30% mountain bike, and it has like loads of mounting points for like putting bags and stuff on it. They're designed for exactly what I said.
A mounting point for the water bottle that came.
Yeah,
with
mine has that.
But they have
like even more bags on the back and on the front and under the frame and stuff like that. You can get bags that fit perfectly in your frame, like the triangle.
Okay,
I've seen that. Yeah.
But the gravel bikes, they're also called touring bikes. They're designed exactly for like what I described, which is like cycling around the place. But anyway, that's getting way ahead of myself. I still want to just find out if I'm going to die riding on the road.
Well, luckily there's a phrase specifically designed around this where they say it's like riding a bike. So I think if you knew how, it'll come.
Yeah, I mean, I did just sit on it and just start cycling again. Yeah. Actually, when I bought it, it was like £60 I paid for it, this bike. Oh, wow. But it was like... it wasn't even in Portsmouth. So I got a taxi to go get it. Because the other problem is I'm really tall, so I need a really big bike. And this was like the only road bike I could find my size.
How tall are you?
How would I put it in 195 centimeters? I don't know what that is in
America.
Right. He's wow, like 6'2", I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. You're taller than Bruff, aren't you? And Bruff's tall. So
I mean, I'm like 173, 4, something like that.
It's 76 inches, but you want it in like something, right? Like two numbers.
Feet.
I don't know. You can.
Yeah, he's 6'2". He's 6'2". That's very tall.
Yeah. Wow. So I need a 21-inch bike. They still use Imperial for that.
6'4"? Holy cow.
6'3". Like, yeah,
6'4", isn't it? Yeah, 6'3".
Yeah. Oh, 6'4".
So you're like way up there,
that is
dude.
Pretty tall.
God, I would like be so player. Tiny. I have to stand next to you.
We've never talked about this before.
You're like half a foot taller than I am. This before.
You got 4 inches on me.
Okay.
So you're 6 feet tall, bruv?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's the ultimate Tinder Chad height. How many, 6 foot tall.
How many football fields is that? I had to find
tiny because I'm 5'7". I would be so cool.
Even on this 21-inch bike, I still have the seat like up a lot. Right? Like I'm still really tall. I can move the seat higher if I wanted. But,
so if Nos, but yeah, if we stood with Nos to my right and you to my left, we'd have like exactly height difference would be exactly the same between the three. I don't know where you are,
well,
RDT.
I'm going to come over
I'm like,
there
I'm
in
3 inches taller
next
than
year. So
you're 2 inches taller
happen.
Than me.
Okay.
So. But the journey to get it was horrendous because it was like way out of the city, and I could get like a taxi there. But I can't get a taxi back. You can't fit this in a car. It's too. It doesn't look it on camera, but this bike is huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, burgers.
Yeah, I misspoke when I said 170. I'm 183 or something. 108, whatever six foot is. I know feet better than centimeters.
Well, you know, I'm like comfortably resting my. I'm at a desk, which is like pretty high up, and my arm is higher. Like this bike's massive. But the problem is when I bought it. When I bought it secondhand, the guy that was selling it was just like, "Oh yeah, I bought it," and then it just sat in my garage and I never used it. So
as you do,
yeah, yeah. So it was like I got on it and the front wheel. I researched a ton about bike maintenance and stuff. Oh yeah, that's another thing. I'll get to that in a minute. But I basically had to maintenance the bike myself for reasons. But the front tire was bent. The chain was dry. The gears were out of alignment, so they were totally unusable. I still have the problem that my rear gear set, it's called a cassette, it has six gears on it. The sixth gear is missing teeth and doesn't work, so I need to buy a replacement cassette to put on it.
What did this guy do to this bike?
I don't know.
In his garage.
Like, that's what they say, right? But it obviously isn't. He's been riding this at, like, full, like, pelt on the maximum gear. Right, and he's ripped the gears out. I don't know how the hell.
He probably drove down that bike lane you were talking about and got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Can someone explain to me how to drive a manual transmission bicycle? I don't.
So I you, don't you have
explain.
You have, so you have twisty things on the front, the handlebars, okay. And that you twist it and it pulls a cable, and then you have these things called derailleurs. You know how a train derails. Well, these things derail the chain from the cogs. So you just pull it and it knocks the chain to the left or right and it falls from one cog to the other.
Yeah. And Nas, don't look this up, but if you ever get on one, remember, before you do that, you have to pull in the clutch on your left hand.
Yeah. Pull the clutch really hard. Yeah, having front and rear brakes like manually addressable, I guess, is weird. I need to remind myself to not do stoppies all the time.
Yeah,
because
right.
I've been thinking about getting a bicycle myself. I've been thinking about it.
Get an e-bike. They're so much fun.
Well, no, I specifically want a bicycle for exercise, kind of, because there's a walking trail near my work that I walk when I do. I haven't been doing it recently, but like it's like 2.5 miles one way, 2.5 miles back. So I've been walking like 5 miles.
Well, here's the thing. like, because yeah. I have an e-bike, and it has different levels of pedal support. Assist. Mm. So it's like a 60-pound bike. So if you put it on no pedal assist, you're going to be working hard. But if you put it on one or two, then it's just like riding a regular bike, and it still has gears and everything. You can get a workout in if you want. But then if you get lazy, you just pull the throttle and you go 25 miles an hour down the bike trail.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
I didn't buy an e-bike specifically. I did research this. I didn't buy it because I knew I was going to buy a cheap secondhand bike and I won't be able to maintenance the electronics. Like, it'll just be screwed, right? Like, that's not going to work. It adds weight and takes up space on the frame, and I wanted to have bags and stuff like that. Yeah, exercise as well, but obviously, yeah, you can have different assist levels and stuff like that. But I wanted something that was just simpler, and I would just learn how to fix bikes and stuff.
You didn't learn all that as a kid? Like, did you not have a bike as a kid? Because I used to love bikes when I was younger. And
I don't even know how to ride a bicycle.
Really? Like, yeah, I used to ride bikes to school and back every single day.
But, like, I didn't have a bicycle.
Like, we always used to go out on our bikes, and it was what we did. And I kind of, I've wanted to get back into mountain biking for so long. I've never actually gone proper mountain biking, but I think it would be something that I would be pretty good at, because I always used to be able to just do that kind of stuff back in the day, but I've never taken the plunge, and I've got a bike in the garage that doesn't do anything right now. But
it's fun. Like, in the final year of elementary school, we have what's called a cycling proficiency test.
Oh, yeah, so I remember that.
We get told the rules of the road and how to be, like, so we don't have to ride on the pavements and annoy folk, so that we know how to ride on the road properly. We know all the hand signals that you need to use and all that. So,
I don't right, left.
But I mean, like, yeah, I had bike as a kid, but I meant, like, maintenance and stuff. Like, my dad would.
Okay. I mean, we always used to, like, gather together around someone's house first and then sort out all our bikes and do the maintenance on them first before going out on a full day of, like, you know, just being, you know, being
that sounds so nerdy. I'm not even teenagers. Gonna lie.
Man, I wish I had a childhood.
it's like a bike nice. Meetup.
Yeah, we used to do bike meetups after school in the Audi car park. We used to all ride. we used to ride our bikes away from, like, home from school, but we, like, the Audi car park on the corner, Audi a supermarket chain, is where, like, two of us would go one way, two of us would go the other way. So we'd meet up there in the car park, talk for like half an hour or an hour, and then go home.
The day that Christopher showed up with a trading card in his spokes and it sounded like a motorcycle. Whoever it was so innovative.
Oh, man.
Cool.
I mean, my childhood was full of riding bikes because, like, I grew up a mile from the beach and it was a small town kind of situation. So everyone rode bikes everywhere. But we weren't like, you know, parking up and looking at everyone's.
No, we weren't doing that.
Man,
but no, it's good biking.
When somebody rolls up with the big wheel, you know what's going. You know what's going. The big wheel with the handlebars up here. That's what it's about.
If you start riding your bike all over the place, you'll definitely get, you know, healthier. It's a good exercise.
Actually, that's what I want. Have you guys seen those, like, tricycles with a handbrake on them and you can, like, drift with them and stuff?
What one of the kids has outside this bloody house where every time you hear him scraping along the ground for miles. It's exactly what he's got, a drift trike.
Oh, that's cool.
Hate it.
See, I'm thinking you're just envious.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit.
You just pedal into it's great. Yeah.
Mm, machine, is that what it was called? That thing was so much fun.
But yeah, but when I bought it, it was unrideable. I had to walk it
that's painful.
I don't remember what Emma said, but like a long way up hills and all that sort of stuff. Oh, and it started raining in the middle of it. And then it started boiling hot. So I was wet and
hot.
Do
you not have any people in your life with a motor vehicle? Is there no one that could have helped you? Man,
really? No.
That's rough.
What? I live in a dense as hell city. You don't have cars. Like, why would we need cars?
It's like living in London. Concept of not like
transport your bike hours home. I don't know.
Oh, I just walked it, right? But yeah, but anyway, the reason I have to work on it is because you know how we're having like a massive chip shortage right now in the gaming scene. No one can get graphics cards and all that. There's apparently a bike shortage. Everyone's trying to ride bikes right now. Oh, so really? I took this to every bike shop in the damn city, and they all told me come back in a month.
What?
Wow.
That's how long it takes. That's their waiting list for bike repairs and servicing and maintenance is a month.
Wow.
So I was like, screw this. I'll just watch on YouTube and just find a bunch of tutorials, buy a bunch of tools, and just work on it myself. So I've fixed the brakes. I've fixed the bendy wheel. You just like adjust the spokes. I've adjusted the gears. They all work. I mean, I'm due to replace the sixth gear still. The seat's in the right place. I also, just before the podcast, just as a special, I put on my mirrors.
God, I never had mirrors on a bike.
Yeah, I didn't know you could get mirrors on a bike until I saw this on Amazon. It was recommended to me. And I was like, oh my God, that makes me so much safer. What the hell? Right? Like, you
know, I need to get one of those.
It's like, I don't have to, I hear a car behind me and I just sit there like, is he going to kill me? Is he going to kill me? Oh, I can see if he's going to kill me.
Now you can see your death coming.
Yeah.
I can see it coming now.
How much was that? I need to get myself a side view for
the mirrors. So you can just buy one for like 20, but I bought two for 40. But yeah, I mean, you can get cheaper ones.
Left side, I think.
Yeah. I could just have one on the right side, but symmetry would annoy me a lot. So I got another one. But yeah, so it's been fun. I've been like, yeah, researched the best lubricant to get. It's Muckoff.
AY. No, never mind.
I put a thing on the wheel that like tracks how fast it rotates, like the RPM, and you put in like the size of the wheel and stuff, and it gives you your speed. And
oh, so you have a wheel speed sensor?
Yeah, I have like a.
Do you have traction control and ABS as well?
No. But yeah, I've been enjoying it. I haven't ridden it too much because it's been really damn hot.
Not bike riding weather, to be honest.
No, I rode it a couple times to go walk my parents' dog, and I come back horrendously sunburnt, because why would I own sun cream, right? Like, horrendously sunburnt and just drenched in sweat. Like,
yeah.
As soon as I come home, I turned the bath on, threw my clothes in the washing machine, and just cleaned. It was horrible.
That's every day of my life is just covered in sweat, burning Alabama. To death. Sunburnt. That's every day. Every day of my life. I don't like being white.
But in addition to this, as a final twist, I need to take my headset off.
A final twist?
Oh, he's the final twist.
He's not wearing socks. He's not wearing socks.
Oh no. Revealed.
Wait, I also another... got Emma a bike.
Two? Not only one bike, there's two bikes.
There's two bikes, way. This was what I went to Gosport for. This bike, the wheels were flat. The chain was rusted. The gears didn't work. It made a horrendous rubbing sound on all of the flipping brakes and stuff. It's purple. It's tiny. And I had to walk through a really rough part of the city for like an hour in the baking sun with it, praying some chavs weren't going to mug me. That's what I went to Gosport for. I had to take this on a boat with a bunch of like nightlife people. Like nightclub people. It was horrible.
Nightlife people.
You should have been vlogging it. That would have made things a lot better.
Oh yeah, I totally wouldn't have got mugged.
Yeah. While
I was vlogging.
Live with a camera out.
But yeah, Emma doesn't know how to ride a bike, and she's never ridden a bike before. And without trying to be funny about it, she's quite overweight. So we had to find like, and she wanted a purple bike, and no other kind of bike would do. So we had to get a purple bike. This was the best one we could find with the lowest, like, top bar we could find. She has, like, a custom, like, big-ass person seat on it.
But then don't bikes for women not have the top bar?
There are some.
They're lower.
They're, like, Dutch-style ones that are curved.
Right.
But we weren't... But Emma is over the maximum weight limit for even normal bikes. So we were worried that she would just break it, right?
Okay.
So we have. She has to. The plan is encouragement to help her lose weight. Yeah, sorry, Emma. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, how else am I supposed to talk about this, right? Like,
she'll is real stuff. You
yeah,
know?
She'll happily tell you that all this stuff. But the plan is to get Emma to learn how to ride a bike on this. What we're doing, what we've done a couple times, is literally at midnight when it's cold and there's no one around, we go to the closest park and I try to help her learn how to ride it.
Huh. But, there you go, Emma.
Good job.
With someone of her size, it is quite difficult. She really struggles to like get her legs onto the pedals. But we can't get like a bigger bike because she's also really short. So there's like, she's been struggling like learning how to do it. But we're hopeful that if she can get to learn to ride this bike and actually likes it, that we'll actually, she'll get a new bike before me. And yeah, she'll get like a properly, specially made bike for someone her weight, right? So.
Cool.
Awesome. But yeah.
Good luck with that.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Teaching Emma how to ride a bike in the middle of a park at midnight is actually surprisingly fun. We've been having a lot of giggly times. There was one time where when she was first trying it, like I had to coerce her to come out. Like, oh, we'll just go walk around the pike with the bike. We won't actually ride it, right? By the end of it, she's like fully on it, trying to actually cycle or something.
Wheelies.
but she was trying to do the kickoff, right, where you like start momentum, you put your right foot down, and then you have to find the left pedal with your left leg. The one time she's actually managed to get her left leg on the pedal, I thought she was falling over and yanked her as I'm like holding her, and I yanked her and she stopped. And we were both laughing so much for ages. But now it's quite sad because it's the only time she's managed to do it and I ruined it.
Oh, no.
Like being too scared. I was too scared to let go. Oh, it's like no. The classic thing where like the adult holds the seat, doesn't actually really do anything and just gives you confidence to do it.
Yeah.
But then I got too scared and grabbed her thinking she was falling over. Yeah, she literally had it. It was so sad.
You'll get it. You'll get it and it's going to be great. Yeah. And you'll be biking all over them. You'll be both biking to Silverstone next year, looking all fit and healthy.
Yeah, that's the dream. Like, we're probably, Bruxton is a lot closer, so we could go watch like a British Touring Car Championship. That would only be like two nights. One night, like 2 days, one night to get there.
Yeah,
and they have like good camping facilities and all that. But yeah, so Emma's trying to learn how to bike, and I'm trying to learn how to not die on the road right away.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to the continued updates, the bike updates.
Yeah, I'm sure next month we'll be like, oh, we sold them, got rid of it.
Teaching a significant other how to do something that like you're passionate about is like a real, real big, cool thing. You know, I've always liked that.
Yeah, it was fun. And Emma now gets really mad whenever she sees a cyclist. There was one time someone rode past and she was like, damn you and your ability to ride a bike.
Irrational hate of someone who can do something and I can't.
Yeah.
That's why I hate all Formula One drivers.
I hope she gets it because then it would be nice to, you know, we have excuses to ride bikes. Like I walk my parents' dog twice a week. So
yeah,
stuff like that. But like I'm the kind of person that I can't exercise for the sake of exercise. I need like a motive to do it. So riding my bike just pointlessly is boring, but to actually go somewhere is like a thing I would want to do.
I'm like that with driving, even though it's not the same. But I always gotta have somewhere I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never drive just for the sake of driving.
I've done it a couple times. It's nice, but like I couldn't do it often.
Yeah. Maybe right. If I had a nicer car and nicer roads or something.
Now my room's full of bikes and I have to figure out how to put them out now.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll do that. You move on to the next thing.
Next thing, Rockstar getting into music.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Like their own record label or something. It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, why? I don't get it. I guess just because they don't want to pay people to use their music.
The next GTA 5 will have no licensed music that they don't. Yeah. They haven't produced.
Oh god, we want it. They do their own music.
Hey, it's a way to cut costs. Why buy music when you could just make music?
Well, this is like, do you guys listen to the Bill Burr podcast at all?
No.
I've listened to it a little bit.
I think it was him. I don't know. But he was talking about how like Movement Watches, their whole brand was like, oh, we couldn't afford fancy watches. so we made our own watch company. It's like
they didn't even make their own watches. It's just they stamped their little brand on like $5 Chinese watches.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
Terrible. Like, oh, I never knew that.
So I started my own private plane company. Like, what are you talking about? That's not how it works. You can't afford something. You don't start a company around it. But yeah, so it doesn't make sense that they would start their own record label so that they could not pay artists to have music in their game. Or
I don't know, but like I'm sure I read something a while ago that said like there's someone higher up at Rockstar who's like really into music and stuff, and that's how the whole nightclub DOC came about, because he got chatting with various artists and it was like, oh, let's put something in the game. Like, it's not for, it didn't come naturally because it would be good for the game and it's what the game designers wanted. It was like, and I'm sure all the musical musicians and all that kind of stuff that have been put into the game with the latest updates have all come from that as well. It's just, I guess people who are high up at Rockstar like music and want to get into it, I suppose.
Like really obscure music too, it seems. Mm. Like, I don't know how obscure this stuff is they've added to the game, but I've never heard of any of these people or any of these songs, so therefore it must be obscure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you've never heard it.
Yeah.
I haven't even listened to most of it, to be honest. It just doesn't interest me in the slightest.
Some of it's pretty good. Some of it's good. I like it. I like some of it.
Hmm.
It's going to be my life to get signed by Rockstar Music.
Yeah. Yeah. Could move from Spotify to Rockstar Music label.
Like, I liked most of the songs on The Lab. I liked that station. It was pretty good.
Radio Mirror Park.
So old. That's old and busted, dude. Those songs are so old. I've been listening to Sleepwalking for the past 10 years.
To be fair, I suppose they've always had some music aspect to the games. Like, there's always been good radio stations, and, you know, Vice City was incredible for music. So was San Andreas. Like, they've always tried. Say again?
Look at Nas's shirt. Isn't that...
It's not from Kiss FM, Kiss FM is just like there's a Kiss FM everywhere. Like, it's really common.
I thought, I'm thinking of something else from San Andreas.
I think there was a Kiss FM in maybe that was Lips.
I think it was GT3, wasn't it? Oh, Lips.
Yeah, but Lips, like Kiss 106. FM is like a really common radio station.
It sounds like a GTA radio station.
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
My bad, guys.
What else? YouTube videos we've got on here. Unlisted YouTube videos have gone private. I got information about this, but it didn't really affect me because I don't really have that many unlisted videos, and I think I would have just opted out of it anyway. But yeah, all unlisted. Wait, all the old podcast episodes
are what?
They're all unlisted on my channel, because if anybody, oh, they're pretty private now. Let me check. I'll have to unprivate them.
Yeah, see, there was something.
There was. I completely forgot about that.
This was a massive, big, scary drama in the speedrun community, because loads of people have like unlisted videos of strats or old runs or even new, like current runs or whatever. And it was just like, there was like pandemonium about it. Everyone, I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh yeah, I should do that. And I opted out. And then for the next like 2 weeks, I kept getting like random messages from people everywhere. Just like, Josh, have you done this yet? But for instance, like all of my GTA Online speedruns, because I did a speedrun of like all of the missions in the base game. But I didn't want to spam my YouTube with just like, you know, 2 minute long videos constantly of all these mission speedruns. So I just unlisted them all. And they were all, I had to save all of those. And if I didn't, it'd be like a ton of like, you know, GTA speedruns missing.
We're all right. I think I must have opted out, because all the podcast episodes are still unlisted on my channel.
But even now, I go on speedrun.com and there's a big header bar that says, important, a game you moderate has a run that may become unviewable on July 23rd. Right. So it's just like,
So that was yesterday.
Everyone was like, yeah, it was yesterday. Everything got changed.
Oh, so it's too late.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you haven't opted out, too late. Lol.
You have to go and log back into your channel, go to the video and manually make it unlisted.
Yeah. Find all the private ones. Don't select all the private ones and then unlist them, because you probably do have some ones you don't want unlisted. Yeah, they did this change to all older old unlisted videos because they had like a flaw in some system that let people, you could just, there was like tools where you could just put a YouTube channel in and it would just give you all of their unlisted videos. You didn't need the link. So it was like, it was flawed. So they fixed it, I think 2019 or something. I don't remember the exact date. But yeah, then now they've decided that, oh, by the way, we should actually change all the old unlisted videos because they're not actually unlisted.
Yeah, okay. Right, that's why. I didn't have to opt out because everything that was unlisted that I cared about and all the podcast stuff, it was after the date that they changed it, so it was already right. In the new way that they did it anyway.
Right.
So yeah. It's all the older unlisted videos that were all on the old broken system, I guess.
But there was also a big, massive preservation effort because there's a bunch of YouTube channels where the people that own them are dead, right? Like, nobody has access to them anymore. Like, they're defunct or whatever. So
wait, the people themselves are dead, or the YouTube channel is dead?
People die.
Both. Either.
Okay.
Either, yeah. Like, so there's, like, tons of people banded together to try to download all these videos and make, like, you know, other copies of them.
Right.
I can think of a few people, like Total Biscuit, for example. Yeah, you know, loads once.
Well, that's not the same because his wife Jenna, I mean, still has access. Yeah, sure, to Jenna, but
yeah. But there's other people that like don't, you know, like pass it on to someone. It wasn't like a big business. Like TB's channel probably still generates a decent amount of revenue, I guess. But yeah, so it was speedrunning freaked out, preservationists freaked out, and there's a big crossover between those two groups. So I was hearing nothing but this for like the month leading up to it.
Well, I mean, it's done now. What can we do?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they make the change, right? Because people that have unlisted videos and think that people can't see them, you know.
Yeah.
I would say it's a bit late for that, like several years later. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, Minecraft archivists freaks out. That's right. A bunch of, like, Notch videos of, like, old versions of the game or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah, that was that.
Austin, you know that you're an inch taller than Ray William Johnson?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know
remember
who
Ray
is?
William Johnson?
Yeah, no, that's like, three, baby.
I'm bad at nits.
That's old school YouTube.
That's old school. Man, let's watch some Shmo Yoho. You want to watch some Songify this?
Yeah, Songify this. Yeah.
Yeah. I put a picture of how tall Josh is in the
in choke chat. Yeah.
Oh, let me take a look at this. Wow, that's very large. How is that?
Oh yeah, it's a Wayno is not that tall. Yeah, that's Wayno. But still,
an excellent photo. Can we take a similar photo when I meet you? Because you will be able to do a selfie as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's open up the phone bank. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to get in the Choking Hazard podcast phone bank channel on the Discord. If you've got any questions,
ask questions. Ask me specifically questions. Come ask me and no one else questions. It'll be a nice change of pace.
Say again, right? What did you say?
Oh, you almost called
me. What happened to it?
Yeah, did people just stop submitting jokes?
Right. Yeah. It was just there was like one or two or something, but most of them weren't.
They were like this, we don't even enjoy this. It's just like two GTA clips, one non-GTA clips, your clip. Nas doesn't like the GTA clips. Nobody votes. It was terrible. Terrible segment.
No, not good. It was a good segment up until the choke of the year, the first choke of the year, because that is the best one, and nothing will ever beat it. Like, nothing
Johnny
ever
running out of fuel.
Yeah, nothing ever reached those heights of chalkage since. So
that's a good one, to be fair.
So, Racing Corner.
No, gaming news? Or...
Wait, what gaming news? Gaming news isn't even on the list. Isn't gaming news just part of the podcast these days?
Yeah.
We talked about this.
I had one other thing about gaming news. Did anybody see, like, this story seems to have flown so under the radar for people. Has anybody heard of the company Amazon? They're quite a...
I know where you're
going. Is that the online bookstore?
Yeah, they sell books, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. So Amazon recently updated their employee contracts to state that it's specifically for their employees that are making video games in their spare time. It's just to cover off a few basic things, just to make sure that, you know, you're not using company equipment to build their video games and whatnot, and you're not doing it on company time. But also, you are doing a personal game, you have to use their toolkits and their services to build the game. And also, let me just read this one out for you. This was point number 7 in the 8-point addition to their contract. It said, hang on, where is it? Accordingly, I hereby grant the following license to Amazon. I grant to Amazon a royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid-up, perpetual transferable license to any and all of my intellectual property rights associated with the personal game and personal game development.
Okay, so I'm about to tell you that every game company does this.
Really?
This is totally standard and is just people being Amazon bad girl. Yeah.
So
as the resident game dev here, I'm telling you, this is pretty standard.
Well, is this for Amazon game devs specifically? Like,
yeah. No, just game development? All Amazon employees.
Oh, so like all if I work in a distribution center and I'm making a game in my spare time.
Now we're talking about something different.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still
Amazon
bad.
Employees.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like, I mean, what can you do if you work at Amazon? You go to work, you spend 10 hours urinating in bottles, and then you come home and you don't even own the game you're trying to make. This is ridiculous.
And you have to use their services.
Yeah, you have to, if you make it in not Amazon Lumber House or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and they have to use AWS to store it as well.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. If it was just game developers, then I would, then this is pretty standard. But if it's every flipping person that works on Amazon, this is a bit out of the loop. A bit not out of the loop. About overreaching. Good, I whipped that one up at home, actually.
Yeah, so I thought I'd mention that to you because it was a bit sort of under the radar for some people.
Yeah, I never read ahead about that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought you were leading into talking about New World killing 3090s.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I have no idea what that is. I thought you might have been bringing up the Activision Blizzard stuff.
Yeah, there's also that rampant... I'm also here to tell you that the rampant sexism in Blizzard is also pretty standard, guys. In game development,
yeah,
it's
I have no.
Right, so this is the portion of the show where I'm going to say kill all men, huh? I get an amen. Kill all men.
It seems like game development studios, at least like AAA stuff, is just it's just a cesspool of garbage.
Yeah, it's this
men are a cesspool of garbage. Okay, men are a cesspool of garbage.
Great man. Straight
white. Yeah. Like, oh yes. Especially straight white men. Straight white men, of course.
Anna Pierce? I don't know if you've know who she is. Alana Pierce. I always do that. she put the best tweet out about it that I saw. She was like, she reacted to the Blizzard stuff and just said, oh, so they're normal then. That was her response.
She did a video as well.
Yeah, that was
good. Like, yeah, some of the places she's worked at.
Yeah, it's just the tech space is just full of incels or whatever that word is.
Incels, yes. Involuntary celibates, yes.
Yeah, it's horrendous. But everyone's shocked about the Activision Blizzard stuff. It's just like, this is pretty normal as well.
I wasn't necessarily shocked when I heard it after all the Ubisoft stuff as well.
Blizzard? Really?
Yeah.
They're an evil company that do evil things. But also make games.
The actual game developers themselves aren't evil at Activision. They're just normal, right? But
I don't know. Some of their executives are pretty evil.
Yeah, yeah. The executives and like the publishing house and the lawyers and the bean counters, whatever you want to call them, all of them terrible. But the actual like grunt work programmer is just a normal, standard game developer programmer, right? Like they're all normal.
The
people.
ones that they don't pay enough that they can eat in the employee
canteen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Any game dev will earn half as much as they would in any other industry. Like as like a programmer making websites or working on like any kind of software, you'd earn twice as much as you would in video games. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. Your passion, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you mentioned that on a podcast a while ago where it's like if you're a programmer, it's so much more profitable for you to go working on something corporate or like doing a interface for, I don't know, some a pay machine to for a parking ticket or something like that. You'll make so much more money than you ever would making something for a video game. But people want to do video games because they like it, so they get taken advantage of.
Yeah, I know that from a programmer perspective, but I think artists and any like musicians, anything like that, they all have the same thing. They just earn twice as much in any other industry.
Yeah,
it's unionized game devs, right? Like it's just. A joke, but that's the only way you fix all of these problems.
Yeah.
Just every time one of these...
Unionization is never a joke. Unionization is the only way that workers have the ability to fight for their rights as employees and as human beings.
I meant a joke as in it's brought up all the time as the fix-all for this problem. But
certainly help.
Every time one of these, like, oh my god, did you know how terrible game development stories comes out? I'm just like... Yeah, it's all like that. It's all terrible.
We need workers to own the means of production.
Meanwhile, Bobby Kotick makes another $200 million.
Eat the rich.
It's crazy because like the voice actors and stuff for games will all get royalties and things because they have unions, right? Like the SAG-AFTRA or whatever it is. I can't say it. But because of all the film, you know, and video unionization stuff that happened in, well, I don't know, the 50s or whatever. I don't know time periods. But they all have all these protections. They have royalties. They have, like, rights and all this stuff. But game development doesn't have any of it. So the voice actors are treated really well in game development, but they're the only ones that are because their skills are, like, they have the unions and stuff from films and stuff just transfer over.
I mean, just imagine being a woman game dev. That would be, it's just, like, terrible. It has to be terrible. Like, you just spend your whole life wanting to do this thing that you're passionate about. You show up to the office. You work too many hours for not enough pay. You're sexually harassed by all of your incel coworkers. And, it, like, terrible. And there's no one to fight. Like, it's ridiculous.
One of my lecturers when I was in university was a black woman game developer. And, yeah, she just straight out told her how terrible it all is. It was just all awful.
She was in education, presumably, to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. But like I remember the Dear Esther. Have you guys heard of that game? It's like one of the original walking sims. That game was made by a couple, right? A husband and wife. And every time they would ever get interviewed, they would only ever talk to the man. They would never ask the woman questions. And she was like the lead on like more things than the man. And it's like she just quit the game industry because it was insane. She would never get respect from anyone. It was always, they would just assume the man did it all, right? You know, it's just terrible. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to bring everything down, but game development is terrible. Nothing you guys have heard. Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But should we now go on to Racing Corner?
Hey, that was the gaming news. I hope you got what you wanted.
do you want? I mean, we could do NOS life update that several people have been asking for in chat. Do you want that?
I mean, I want it.
Yeah. You actually want it? Are you sure?
I thought you were serious. Like,
yeah, I thought you were serious when you were talking about it in the pre-show.
That's why I turn up to these podcasts to catch up with you guys.
Oh, really? Oh. Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, what else am I doing?
I guess so.
Furthering your own agenda? I don't know.
Yes, all 200 of these viewers are going to be TSA fans.
Like half the people in the chat are my viewers anyway, right?
They show up to my streams.
Yes. So where do I start since last time? I have a girlfriend now. So there you go.
Whoa!
Yes.
Oh, come on. I thought I had the thing done with the bike reveal, but now you have the biggest surprise.
I'm in a relationship and it's not with a man. And no one expected this.
Josh just got the rug pulled out from under him with that reveal.
I'm going to try harder next time.
There you go. Yeah, so it has been more than 7 days. It's been about a month now.
We're over the hurdle.
Yeah. Over the hurdle from the last one.
Right, this is when you go, and here she is now.
No.
You think it's just a couch? She's been under it the whole time.
she was on my last stream roasting me for how I customize cars. She was just in the background yelling at me, like, make it pink. I'm like, no. And she hates
a gamer.
She plays a little bit, but not much. But I made my Dominator kind of a beige color, and she hated it because she hates the color beige because it reminds her of old white men. So, which I mean, the Dominator is pretty boomer energy. It's pretty boomer vibes. So, but I'm actually her.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, so, I mean, from the last episode, I would say through, you know, my therapist had me reading back through my journal and identifying, you know, bad things, you know, thing like broken thought processes and whatnot. And I think that's really helped me a lot. And opening up to a lot of people in my life has helped me a lot. Because I've got somebody that is a close friend of mine that helps me read through my journal with me. And that really helps. So, like, even before I met her, like I was beginning to feel more healthy, and now, like, you know, because I've always had being in a relationship is really high value in like the things I want in my life. So it's like I was improving, and now, you know, I'm kind of starting to have that kind of field as well. It's going well. She's really good at communication. She's very sweet. I really like her a lot, and I'm excited. So
good,
you know, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Okay, I'll ask the real question. Is she
smoking? Do you think I'm gonna spill for anything less than the best? Come on, baby.
We gotta do all the classic questions. How did you meet?
Okay, well, we met at work. So I work with her, which is a no-no, but I don't care. We're gonna just send it anyway. But I work with her. And I also work with her mother. Her mother is one of my managers. So, so it's a
okay. Yeah, next month we're gonna have a very sad update.
No, I don't think so. I'm
to be fair, it's better than the traditional way that most Alabamans meet their significant other, which is at the family reunion. So, work is most likely the best option here.
Well, I was friends with her mother before I met her. So,
you banged her mom.
No, that's not what I did.
Damn, bro.
Oh my god.
How old is she in comparison to you? Are you the same age? Is she younger? Older?
She's 20.
I've forgotten what you are.
I say 12 for some reason.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. RDT, where is your head today?
I don't know, man.
Waiting for the RDT life update after this.
What? Not a sheep.
I'm the only single one now.
She's 4 years younger than me, but we're kind of at, like, I think because of me not going to high school, we're ended up at, like, kind of, like, similar points in our life. Like, she's about to move out and start her own life, and I'm about to have my own house and kind of start my own life.
Yeah.
You know, so we're really similar.
Once you get past, like, 20, age just becomes a non-issue.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, so... She's real good at communication. I've been helping her a lot with, because she's always struggled with like setting boundaries and, you know, expressing how she feels and stuff like that. So
I thought you were going to say struggles with her car.
Well, she doesn't have a car, so I guess a struggle.
So you think you've met at the like the right time for each other as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like we've talked a lot about that, and we both kind of feel the same way. Because you know she's helping me with a lot of stuff that I've got going on emotionally, and I'm helping her with that. Like setting boundaries with her family has always kind of been a harder thing for her to do, and she's starting to do that more. And like she's done a lot of things I'm really proud of her for doing, like putting herself out there and going places with me that she wouldn't normally go and stuff like that. So
excellent. How long did you know each other before it became official?
About a month.
Okay.
If you want the full story, so what had happened was she started working with me, and we essentially, like, we just heavily flirted for about a month, right? Like, a month straight. Like over-complimenting, and hopefully you know how it goes, because I can't really explain it. Anyway, and she has a little bit, just the tiniest bit of kind of, like, social autism in a way. Like, she doesn't really get social cues as well as, like, I would. Right. So she was previously in a relationship for about a year. And then, you know, a couple weeks into her working there, she broke up with the guy because, you know, she didn't love him really. Or she loved him in a way, but didn't like wasn't in love with him. You know what I mean? Kind of that kind of feeling. Oh, yeah. And that's probably because he was a emotionally abusive man child. but that's neither here nor there. So we flirted for a while, and after she had broke up with him, like I had came over to her house like a week prior and had dinner with her and their family. And her mother gave me a ride back from my mechanic shop to my house because I needed a favor and she was able to do it. So we were just talking at work one day, and she says something like, you know where I live, and now my mother knows where you live, and I think that's just kind of unfair. So, like, I don't know if y'all understand social cues, but that's like, invite me to your house, right? Are we in agreement here?
Yeah.
Chat, are we in agreement here?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Is everyone in agreement that I read this social situation properly?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe you want to come over for lunch sometime? Do you want to know what she hits me with? No,
that?
Thank you. Like, as cheery as she possibly can. No, thank you. So even I can read that. Yeah, if Twitch chat can read it, So she hits me with a no, thank you. I was like, okay, all right, okay.
Oh, man, that's brilliant.
Yo, that is, wow, that's harsh.
Stone cold.
Yeah, it was harsh. So we talked about it more afterwards and laughed about it or whatever. And so one night, like, I had to give her a ride home from work because she doesn't have a car. Play of the game. I like that. I like that. So I had to give her a ride home from work. I pull up in the driveway, and she's like, I really don't want to go home. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? She's like, can I just... because I was the closer that night. She was like, can I just go back to work
and
hang out with you for a while? Oh, yeah, I'm the closer. And by this point, like, she hit her... Of course, her boyfriend had called her back and been like, I've made a huge mistake. So they were back together for, you know, a couple days, right? So I was like, yeah, sure, you can come back to work with me. So I take her back to work. She rides on my deliveries with me, and we talk. And then after work, I was like... well, what do you want to do now? She's like, well, I don't want to go home. I was like, do you want to come back to my place? And she said, yeah, sure. I'll come back to your place. So I take her home to my place. RDT, that's not where this is going, pal. You can chill. But
you want to go lay down on the couch?
Well, no, I mean, I brought her home. She just, because she didn't want to be at home. Her home's a little hectic, right? So, so I bring her home, and I put her here in this office, right on the couch over there. I set her up so she can sleep and have a peaceful night. And I basically just sit and talk to her for a couple hours. And I'm like, hey, you're actually pretty cool. And you need a partner in life, right? That's probably what you need, is like someone to actually support you and be emotionally available. And I'm not telling you to break up with your boyfriend. What I'm telling you is that you need to be the one to decide who that is in your life, right? You need to make that decision for anybody. She's like, I need to break up with him, don't I? I was like, it's not what I said.
No, I'm calling you Bob Lee Swagger because you're a shooter, bro. Okay,
so not only were you the rebound, you initiated the rebound.
Yes, yes. Ooh. It's a complete alpha move. Like,
that's that so, Sigma male stuff that I've been hearing about.
Yeah, I'm going to get this close to the camera and make a video about it. But So I had did that. I basically just sat her down and told her she wasn't worthless, which nobody had ever really done before because, you know, she had a garbage boyfriend and a non-supportive, emotionally abusive family. So, I drop her off at home the next morning. She breaks up with him, and she's, you know, back at my place the next couple of nights. And, you know, eventually we have a define the relationship talk, and here we are, and our relationship's really good. I think it's really healthy, so it's really supportive and healthy and open, and we set boundaries with each other, which we both respect, and like I feel like it's a real adult relationship, and I feel like it's going to continue to be that because of the way we both are. So
those plays, Noss with the plays,
the plays, yes, the plays.
Yeah, well, I'm happy about it. Good job, Noss.
Just pulling up from half court and just...
Yeah, really. She's been helping me a lot. Like, being in a relationship has helped my kind of image issues that I've been going through. Like, for instance, I usually cover up my, the screen that my webcam's on whenever I do this show, and I haven't done that this whole time. So, and I haven't really felt uncomfortable. So, I'm feeling a lot better through all of my work that I've done and through her and everything. Like, I'm the closest to happy I think I've ever been. And I guess my hesitancy to say that I'm happy is kind of like, I'll have to get through that too. Cause I am happy now. Like I'm really happy. So like, I'm really motivated. I'm really happy. And I don't see any reason that it wouldn't continue to be that way. Usually I would just, like, I would be waiting for it to change, you know, waiting for whatever's going to happen. But, like, I don't feel that way now. And it's really nice. It's really nice to not have that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's made me happy.
So hopefully you guys will you'll have to meet her if she feels more comfortable being on camera. She had a really fun time roasting me to everybody because of course the chat took her side on all of the things she said.
Always.
And right, I had to explain to her that they weren't on her side. They're just on the opposite side of me. It just like you both just happened to align. So
that's brilliant.
I'm in a good place right now. I'm happy, and the work has been like I said, I was making good progress on my own and with the people who love and care about me. But she's kind of accelerated it because, you know, that I feel like that's what I've been like. If you look at my life on paper, that's the aspect of my life that I'm missing.
Yeah,
you know, I've got a safe, happy home. I've got, you know,
I'm cars.
Very financially stable. I've got my cars. I've got my hobby of driving. I've got, you know, like I've got all these things, but just that core element of being in a relationship is always something that I've really missed. And, you know, now I have that, which is good. So I feel like I'm moving more towards complete, both in my self-confidence and in just kind of a objective, the things that I want out of life. So, and she doesn't want kids, which is great. I mean, I don't know of any. I mean, I guess some younger people like it's always their dream to have kids, but she hates children. She doesn't like them, and that's excellent because I'm the same way.
So, as I prepare to watch my 2-year-old nephew for 4 hours.
Good luck.
But
that's
but
good. Yeah, it's been a big change from last month's podcast was, you know, a difficult one for, you know, all of us, I think, to talk about and open up on and things. But so it's nice to have had this change from last month to this month. And
yeah, it's really funny how, like, as soon as you, like, just get out of that, like, mental state of, like, I'm a piece of garbage, like, how your life can improve. When you're stuck in that unhealthy, like, that's because you're unwell. When you're stuck in that kind of mental state and your mind just is saying those things to yourself all day, every day, like, you're unwell. You are physically, mentally, and emotionally unwell. And if you can attack that at its source, then things can start to improve around you. So, in my opinion, that's how I've watched it happen. So,
excellent. I think, I mean, there's two last things on the thing that we, you know, the racing corner we were going to talk about. I don't kind of want to talk about any of it. And we got nobody in the phone bank. I kind of want to leave it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great note to leave it on.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
It's perfect. What a great ending to. That's the best ending to a podcast we've ever had. Right. Well, that'll be it then. Thanks for sharing, Nos. It's made me happy. I'm happier ending this podcast than I was starting it.
Of course, I'm very happy too. I'm happy too. I hope you guys get to meet her soon. Maybe I can convince her to be on the podcast.
Yeah, get her in a pre-show.
Yeah.
Get her in the pre-show.
Yeah, for the five viewers there. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me. Do you want to say goodbye, guys?
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Cheers, bye-bye, guys. Thank you so much for watching. See you later.